to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, my friends, to tonight's third and final hour of the Political Cesspool radio program, a award-winning and battle-tested show that we bring you each and every Saturday night right here from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the Liberty News Radio Network's satellite broadcast, their AM-FM affiliate stations, and of course it's Liberty News Radio Network that simulcasts us over the internet, which you can pick up at libertynewsradio.com and thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's great to have you back with us tonight for the final hour as we kick off this new year with no limits in the political cesspool, the voice of the American right, James Edwards and Winston Smith in with you this evening. Don't forget to mark your calendars. A big month that we're going to have in January as we kick off the new year, the new decade. Dr. Kevin McDonald, tenured professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, will be our guest next week. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance Magazine, is on deck for later in the month, along with some other very insightful and informative guests that you will only hear here on the political cesspool. That being said, Winston, let's get back to work. Before we get back to work, and when we get back to work, you're going to wish we didn't, ladies and gentlemen, because I got a story here out of a Danish newspaper, a so-called reputable Danish newspaper, an editorial that says Obama is greater than Jesus. You're not going to want to miss this. This is what passes for news in the first world in the year 2010, I guess. But, Winston, before we get to that, we should let people know that there was a song parody written about us. You saw that last night, didn't you?
Oh, I did. That was uproarious, and I'm very proud of the person who has way too much free time to write it. It was good. It was superb, and I salute the person who had to borrow the tune from Green Day to supply the music for his own composition.
I don't think that's quite made it to the blog yet, although we did come across that last night. It's amazing to me, Winston, how intently our enemies listen to us, how they hang on our every word. And the thing that they don't seem to realize is that we love being attacked, just like the gremlins multiply when they try to kill them by drowning them in water. This show's own legend seems to become more and more outstanding each time we are subjected to this venomous vitriol from the left. And anyway, if people don't know what we're talking about, I guess it should be said that I guess some kid out there has posted onto a website a song parody in which he bashes us. And anyway, we saw it and we like it. So thank you to whoever wrote that. And apparently they listened to us a lot because they knew a lot of the things we talk about and things you couldn't know just from looking at our site. So anyway,
James, these are people who say that we are insignificant, that we're not worth listening to, and yet they cannot get enough of us. Even the people who are writing the Wikipedia article on the political cesspool, they can't stand us. They hate our guts. They wish we would die, and yet they listen to every show. And I've been told that one of them has set up a blog called TPC on Wikipedia or TPC on Wiki or something like that. And they get on this blog and they say things about the show that they can't say in the Wikipedia article. One guy says that he wants his Wikipedia article to get into public schools, and he wants public school children to learn what a terrible show this is. And this is a guy who can't stand it, so. You know, what can I do? These were the people with whom I had a big edit war over my name, and they finally realized that Winston Smith is indeed my name, but, you know, what can you say?
Yeah, what do you know, Winston? You were only born with the name. But, you know, I love it, and I love the SPLC, and I love the ADL, and all they've done to help the show over the years with their baseless attacks. And they never fail to disappoint us, do they, Winston? They're always there. They always stay lit for us.
I've been getting disappointed with the SPLC because they're not writing anything new. They're just cutting and pasting from from an article they wrote, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I know, but, well, you know, it's not like they're exactly go-getters. I mean, they are lazy journalists.
But, look, you know, at a picture of Heidi Beirich and you'll see they're not one for much physical exertion.
But nevertheless, we appreciate what they do for us, and we're going to keep giving them things to talk about. We're going to keep telling the truth, you know. People, you know, liars hate the truth, and we're going to keep telling the truth, and we're going to keep annoying them by doing so. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about this hour instead of how great we are, although I would prefer just to talk about that for the rest of the night, but work must be true. And we're going to talk about Obama being greater than Jesus, but not before we cover a quick story. We don't have the time this segment to get into it. I don't know if people have noticed, but we're very thorough in our providing of commentary on this show. If you watch, you know, someone like Bill O'Reilly, for instance, he puts in, you know, 5-6 different stories in a 6-minute segment. It takes us an hour to talk about one thing, but we do it very meticulously, I think, and we exhaust it. And I think that's the way news should be presented. Anyway, Dick Cheney named Conservative of the Year. Now, that's a joke in and of itself, although they weren't intending to be funny with this. The so-called conservative newspaper Human Events, he has been named Conservative of the Year because he won't stop calling for more wars in the Middle East. I mean, heck, Obama is sending more troops to Afghanistan, so by that measure, he should be named the Conservative of the Year. But nevertheless, Human Events is the same newspaper which you might remember fired their managing editor in 2005 a few hours after getting a phone call from the SPLC complaining that he wasn't liberal enough for their liking. Yes, that would be the same SPLC that Winston and I were just referring to, who says stuff like this, and I quote, "The most dangerous threat in America today is not from the Ku Klux Klan, and it's not from the neo-Nazis. It's from the religious right." That's what the SPLC said. So Human Events is a real good judge of who should be named Conservative of the Year. But you might say to yourself, James, that's not fair. Dick Cheney is a conservative because doesn't he support traditional moral values? Well, keep in mind, this is Dick Cheney with the lesbian daughter. And don't forget that this last past spring, he talked about supporting nothing less than gay marriage, which he's been saying, by the way, for 5 years now. And if you don't believe me, go to our blog. Once again, this time you won't be able to just read about it, but we got a YouTube video of Dick Cheney giving a major speech in which he is advocating for so-called gay marriage. So there you have it, Dick Cheney. That's your Conservative of the Year, according to a publication that says they are a voice for conservatism, Human Events. That's why I'm telling you folks, really, we're it. Now, there are some good print publications out there. God knows. The Occidental Quarterly, for instance, you can't beat it. American Renaissance, the Citizens Informer, the newspaper, the Council of Conservative Citizens. There are actually some print publications out there that are still paleoconservative. But if you're listening to authentic conservative talk, if you're listening to the voice of the American right, you got to be listening to the political cesspool. And this is what separates real conservatism from phony conservatism. We would never name Dick Cheney the Conservative of the Year, would we, Winston?
No, we would not. In fact, I would name Keith Alexander Conservative of the Year.
Yeah, Keith would be a front runner in that, I think. I don't know anybody. Yeah, maybe the Bombardier.
But, you know, Keith has been political successful Employee of the Month, I think, 4 times last year.
Well, anybody.
Here, folks, I'm telling you, we got an office here, and there's a little walnut board there with a place where we can slide pictures of the political successful Employee of the Month. And, you know, gosh darn it, I keep trying to beat Keith Alexander out for the position, but he's just too sharp. That's why we call him the political cesspool's intellectual great white shark.
Yeah, he goes to the blacksmith and just sharpens his blade. He's just he's sharp as a tack. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him, but that's why we added him on as a regular co-host. But, yeah, people should only see people should only see the green room that we have here at WLRM Studios. I mean, they think that CNN's posh. They ain't seen posh until they walk into our studio. As I'm sure Art Frith, our producer, would attest, this is, I mean, you know, it's hard to even leave out of our little entertainment area, our little man cave, where we've got these flat screen, high definition TVs and pool tables and foosball tables, and we got all that, and then we got to actually leave there. So we come here early so we can lay back on the leather couches. And then, unfortunately, 6 o'clock rolls around. We got to come into the studio and do the show. But I tell you, folks, you know, our ticket's been punched here by WLRN.
You're killing me, James. You're killing me.
You know, when we're not dodging rats and snakes, that is, we really enjoy the flat-screen TV. Obama's greater than Jesus, and we're going to talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
We're having entirely too much fun tonight. I mean, there is no way this could be considered work. Although, we are providing a service, I dare say. And if you're enjoying the show you hear tonight, keep in mind that we are listener-supported. Your assistance is both needed and appreciated. ThePoliticalCesspool.org if you want to pitch in and do your part for our team here. Now, as we've been mentioning, a Danish newspaper editorial has proclaimed Obama to be greater than Jesus. Now, if that's not sacrilegious and blasphemous, I don't know what is. And as I wrote on the blog, Winston, you're going to have to rewrite your top 10 most hateful quotes list, or at least this is going to be one to join the 2010 top hateful quotes. As I read this article, and I'm going to read it word for word, verbatim, just get a load of what they're trying to cram down the throats of these readers of this Danish newspaper. This is pretty bad stuff. I tell you, you're probably going to get a little upset as I read this, but here goes nothing. I'm going to read it and then turn it over to Winston for proper dissection. Obama greater than Jesus, that is the name of this, and again, this article is not a parody. Here's what the article says. He is provocative in insisting on an outstretched hand where others can only see animosity. His tangible results in the short time that he has been active are few and far between. His greatest results have been created with words and speeches, words that remain in the consciousness of their audience and have long-term effects. He comes from humble beginnings and defends the weak and vulnerable because he can identify himself with their conditions. And no, we're not thinking of Jesus Christ, whose birthday has just been celebrated, but rather the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. For some time now, comparisons between the two people have been a tool of the cynical opinion that quickly became fatigued of the rapture that Obama instilled prior to and after the presidential election last year. From the start, Obama's critics have claimed that his supporters have idolized him as a savior, thus attempting to dismantle the concrete hope that Obama has represented for most Americans. The idea was naturally that the comparison between Jesus and Obama, which is something that the critics developed themselves, would be comical, blasphemous, or both. If such a comparison were to be made, it would, of course, inevitably be to Obama's advantage. Winston, your thoughts?
I think this reporter has been looking at far too many pictures of Obama, you know, the ones that position Obama's head so that it's right in front of some kind of light, thereby making it look like he has a halo. You know what I'm talking about, James?
Oh, yeah, I know.
So at every picture you see of Obama, there's some light in the back that makes it look like he has a halo. So I think this Danish reporter has been taken in by the clever photography techniques of the socialist media here in the United States. But there's one line in particular that I thought was uproarious. Excuse me. And it's a line that says that he defends the weak and the vulnerable. Well, in the United States, what group is more weak and vulnerable than blacks? And yet the Congressional Black Caucus says that Obama has ignored blacks. I don't know where this Danish reporter has been getting his information or where he's been doing his thinking, maybe in a Chinese opium den or something. But it certainly hasn't been in the arena of facts. Sir, whoever you are who wrote this article, look around. As of now, everyone agrees that, or practically everyone agrees, that Obama has done nothing, not a thing. He's even become the target of our late-night comedians. Saturday Night Live did a parody of Obama in which he refuted an accusation against him by saying, "I've done nothing." Now, certainly that was a comedic skit, but it makes a point. When you have Saturday Night Live going against a liberal Marxist politician, that liberal Marxist politician has been a disappointment. And Obama has been a disappointment to everybody. It's hilarious, almost, the failings of this man. Look, he got the Peace Prize?
Nobel.
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize based upon talk. He talked his way into a Nobel Peace Prize, and he was given that award even while he was increasing the troop strength in Afghanistan. this reporter...
He's not done.
I think he took the Elmer Fudd correspondence course in journalism.
Well, he's not done, Winston. I read half of it. Here's the second half. Now, I left off where he said, if a comparison between Jesus Christ and Barack Obama were to be made, inevitably it would be to Obama's advantage. But he concludes that article by saying this. Today, Obama's historic health reform is being passed through the American Senate, a welfare policy breakthrough that several of his predecessors had been unable to manage. Despite all the compromises, it has finally been possible to ensure something so fundamental as the right of every American not to be financially shipwrecked when their health fails them. Add to that the biggest ever financial support package in American history, a major disarmament agreement, and the quickest ever reestablishment of the American reputation, whatever that means. On the other hand, we have Jesus' miracles that everyone still remembers, but which only benefited a few. You know, because when Christ died, Winston, and rose again to save the souls of everybody on earth, that only benefited a few, you know.
And then this guy has no understanding of American politics. He has no understanding of Chicago-style politics. And he has no understanding of biblical theology. The purpose of the miracles was not to produce some long-term societal effect. It was to provide demonstrations of God's grace. And this guy...
Well, hey, Winston, let this guy finish, and then you'll be even more enraged. I'm trying, by God, to get you riled here. But listen to this. It gets better or worse. He says, Jesus only benefited a few. At the same time, we have the wonderful parables about his life and deeds that we know from the New Testament, which have been interpreted so differently over the past 2,000 years that it is impossible to give an unequivocal result of his work. Obama is, of course, greater than Jesus, if we have to play that absurd Christmas game, but it is probably more meaningful to insist that with today's domestic triumph that he has already assured himself of a place in the history books, a space he has good chances of expanding considerably in the coming years, without, however, ever attaining the heavens. So, he is, he's better than Jesus. That's it. That's all there is.
This reporter's been drinking his bath water.
Alcoholic bath water.
Are we going to go to the phones? This has got my stomach turning. This guy, how can he call himself a journalist? He's not a journalist. He's a joker.
Well, we can use that word on network radio, and maybe we will take a call or two. I forgot that we were going to open up the phone lines after that break during the second hour. 1-866-986-NEWS. That's the number, 1-866-986-NEWS. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you over the course of the final half hour here. 1-866-986-NEWS. Lines are open, and operators are standing by if you want to chime in tonight and be a star on the political cesspool. We'd love to make you one. 1-866-986-NEWS. We'll be back.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last thing we ever... Welcome back to the show, everyone. The political cesspool. I'm James Edwards, Winston Smith here with me this evening. Bill Roland and Eddie the Bombardier. I guess Eddie's still out hunting. Haven't heard from him. He's got to be out on the hunt somewhere. He's hunting season's almost over. I hear hunting season is over January 10th, so Eddie will be back, and Bill Roland about to get back in the regular hosting rotation now that his job isn't working him on Saturday nights. It's tough having to be a professional radio host while you have other jobs. See, if we actually got paid to do this, it'd be a whole other ballgame. Then we could actually all be in together. Now, wouldn't that be fun? Winston, did you see the story? This is just kind of off the wall, but we did a rather lengthy blog post about it. Did you see the story about the guy? We were talking about, you know, Danish newspaper articles there. We're not even going to revisit that one, but we'll leave it alone. The news story, though, out of St. Louis, the black guy went into the phone booth and found a $1 million bill.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
I remember that.
What was that about? Can you break that down?
Well, he walked his phone booth and found what was apparently a $1 million bill, and he set about trying to find out if it was legitimate and find out how he could go about spending the thing. But it turns out, if he had just turned it over and read what was on the other side, it was a religious tract. It was about becoming a Christian. And, you know, that was dumb enough, but the real tragedy of the thing is that this reporter held this man up to absolute ridicule. just completely unsportsmanlike. Here was a guy who was obviously, you know, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you don't hold this guy up to national ridicule like that.
Well, you know, we posted about it, so... That should be the final word, I guess. But a million dollar bill in a phone booth. Now, wouldn't that have been a good day had that been legit?
He probably soiled himself when he first saw it.
how many people? I guess you know. Maybe they took out. Where would you learn about denominations in school? Where? I don't know. Maybe an economics class. I don't. Do they still have those, or are those racist? How many people believe, we need to do a political cesspool poll, how many people believe that a $1 million bill exists?
I doubt any.
Well, that was one guy that did, but nevertheless.
He's not a political cesspool listener.
We're going to tease you with that. That's a teaser. You got to go to the blog to read the rest of that story, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's an interesting story. Lester Rodney Winston is dead. He died at 98 years old. Now, see how a perfectly evil guy like this can live to, you know, nearly a century. And then, you know, I don't think we're going to live that long. But Lester Rodney is dead. Now, if people don't know who Lester Rodney is, I didn't know who he was until I did a little research for the blog. He's apparently a famed sports writer. He's the sports writer who historians say did more than anyone else to integrate Major League Baseball. He began speaking out against the MLB's whites-only policies long before others did back in the 1930s. And his goal became a one-man crusade. He railed against racism, quote-unquote, in baseball constantly in his sports column, which appeared 6 days a week. My God, he was busy. You still never heard of him. Well, maybe you'll remember him by his nickname, which was Red Rodney, Lester Red Rodney. And if you go up into your grandparents' attic, and if they have any 1930s issues of the paper his column appeared in, the Daily Worker, you might recognize that as the voice of the American Communist Party. Yes, it was the communists who were pushing for racial integration in baseball when almost all Americans opposed it, just as it has always been radical left-wingers behind every push to eliminate every distinction between the races in America, just as it was the American Communist Party demanding a national holiday for Martin Luther King when all decent Americans opposed it. But good luck finding a reference to that fact online, though. At any rate, here's the point. When it comes to racial integration, most modern so-called conservatives, even the fearless conservatives, as they bill Rush Limbaugh, are proud to toe the Communist Party line. And Lester Red Rodney played a big part in that. And that, Winston, I guess, is part of the bigger story here. It's something we always talk about. What outright admitted communists were advocating back in the 1930s, conservative Republicans are advocating today. And that, folks, is something you need to be very cognizant of. Winston, I bet you can provide a little more commentary on that.
People need to read the Political Cesspool blog. They need to go to European Americans United or Western Voices World News. They need to go to the CFCC site, and they need to read these articles and connect the dots. You need to know the ideological ancestry of today's politicians, and be they Democrat, be they Republican, you're going to find that today's Republicans are the same as the communists of the 1950s. Very little difference. And the Democrats, well, they are out and out.
They're the next level. That's what a progressive is. A progressive takes it to the next level. You see, it can always get worse. Even when you can't dream, it would get worse. Just as in the 1950s, no decent Christian American could imagine that sodomy would be legal, that sodomite marriage would be equal to or greater than normal marriage, God-ordained marriage. But yet here, 50, 60 years later, it's on the cusp of being the law of the land. See, if we can't dream, they can dream the things we can't even imagine.
And the conservative of the year advocates such a thing.
There you go. Dick Cheney is the conservative of the year. This is the point. This is the point. Named conservative of the year by Human Events. This is the point, ladies and gentlemen. No matter who wins with these two parties, we lose. Never, ever, I don't care how long you live, you will never see the day where the Republicans actually take back any ground on behalf of the people that they supposedly represent, on behalf of the people like some of our listeners who vote Republican. This is what you're voting for. Essentially, for all intents and purposes, today's Republicans are the communists of the 1930s, and I think this article, provides spot-on proof of that. And, is that really the best we can do? Is that really the best we can do? And, the Democrats are taking us off the cliff fast. The Republicans are doing it just a little bit slowly, but neither of them are working on the behalf of the genuine article when it comes to constitutional conservatism. We are here in the political cesspool. We may be politically incorrect by their definition of political incorrectness. But you read our mission statement and you listen to what we say. And you be the judge of that. And I'll tell you this, too. Everything that we say and everything that we do out of love. We do out of love for our people. And we've talked about that before. I said it a couple of weeks ago. What is love if not loving your own family a little bit more than anyone else? We don't hate anyone. We don't want to see tragedy or misfortune befall anyone. But we certainly want our family to be taken care of here in America. This is our country. It always was. It always has been. It was meant to be by divine providence. That's what I believe. And so I'm going to speak out on behalf of the people who started this country and kept it going and made it the greatest country in the world up until, the 1950s. And that's what this show's here to represent. We don't claim to be a voice for all people, but, the Republicans aren't a voice for you at all. They're not a voice for all people either, and they're not a voice for conservatives. But There you have it. So if you didn't know who Lester Rodney was, Red Rodney, he was apparently an oracle, Winston, a sage, because that which he advocated from the pages of the American Communist Party are now platform planks in the GOP, as you see with Michael Steele, for instance. Never did Red Rodney imagine that the that the conservatives in America would have a joke like Michael Steele be their standard bearer. But this is the unfortunate reality that we find ourselves living in. We got a minute left until the next segment. And we're gonna wrap things up tonight. Winston, what a great show! I tell you, I've had as much fun tonight as I've ever had hosting the show. And I don't know what it is, if it's the new year and I'm just still feeling good from it all. But I tell you, I think we're really burning bright. You're burning bright tonight. I can't say that I am. But
I think it's all part of the wonderfulness of James Edwards.
Well, I just have that luminescence that just rubs off. My glow is transcending the studio here, and you're bathing in it over there. So we're excited about it.
It's a luminescence that can be summed up in the words that begin with beans. Beans are good for your heart. We got to take some calls, man. People are going to be mad at you.
Yeah, I guess we should. We got to get some calls. 1-866 986 News. Well, Denny's asleep over there. He's still full of turkey. So, no, seriously, we're going to take a break and we're going to get it figured out. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Final segment of our first show of the new year, the new decade, January 2nd. You're in the political cesspool with James Edwards. We are going to cover one more quick story, and then we're going to go to the phones. Winston's right. We've been neglecting the phones for far too long. We have some calls, and we're going to try to get to one or two before the time runs out tonight. And, of course, it goes without saying that board operator Denny was not asleep on the job. I just had to pass the buck to take the blame off myself for not going to the phones earlier. But Liberty News Radio truly gives us the best production crew. And Denny's it. He answers the phone, does all the logistical support, works the internet stream. He's overseeing all this. He's a czar. I got one story here for you, Winston. Just down the road in Little Rock, Arkansas, a couple of hours to the west of us, a white Salvation Army worker who has spent his entire adult life trying to help blacks was shot to death in front of his own small children by two black thugs. Now, what's interesting about this news story is not that it's unique. This is stuff that unfortunately happens every day in America. But this news story actually mentioned the race of the killers, which, of course, is only supposed to matter to alleged racists and neo-Nazis. But unfortunately, also, his wife hasn't learned a thing from his murder and is going to continue to waste her life trying to save the ghetto. So reads the story. But it's not just that there's more to it than this. On Christmas Day, an African Muslim tried to blow up a plane full of passengers, as we know. I think he had a bottle rocket or something. But the point is, he was on a watch list, and his own father had notified us that he was dangerous, but he was still given a visa. According to some reports, he was allowed to board even though he didn't have a passport. Department of Homeland Security head Janet Napolitano said the system worked because the feds made flying even more of a hassle immediately after the incident. And when an uproar ensued over her remarks, she backtracked, agreeing with Matt Lauer that the system did indeed fail miserably in preventing this incident. But that's not the big deal, though, because they responded immediately by making air travel even more burdensome for civilized people. Now, she doesn't seem to understand that when given a choice between swift responses to terrorism and keeping terrorists off of planes, Americans would prefer the latter. And the passenger who tackled the terrorist when he saw smoke is rightly being hailed as a hero. But if he had been mistaken, half the people who are praising him would be denouncing him as a vicious racist who attacked a man for suspicions based on the color of his skin. That's what political correctness does, Winston. Your thoughts?
James, this is a story that I don't think we know the half of it. Frankly, I smell a rat in the whole thing. Here was a guy who was mentally, by all accounts, he's not quite all there. He's a little unbalanced, if you will. And he's hauling around this bomb made by Al-Qaeda. And when was the last time you ever heard of an Al-Qaeda-made bomb not working properly? These are people who know how to make bombs, and they know how to get them into the places where they want to get them. And yet here's this bumbling fool getting on an airplane wholly undetected. There's something isn't right here. I frankly, James, I smell a rat. But still, Janet Napolitano is as much out of her league as is Obama. She is wholly unqualified for the job. What else can you say? She is an idiot.
Well, Winston, you can't say any more than that. Let's just go right to it and put the exclamation point on the story. And there you have it. But if you want to read more about it, go to our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Let's go to the phones now, Winston. What do you say? Our good friend is on the line, Craig, up in New York. Craig, how are you?
I am fantastic. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, buddy. What can we do for you tonight?
I just wanted to call in and get your thoughts on the upcoming year, because me personally, I'm a terminal optimist like Jared Taylor. I think the new year is going to go good for us, and I really think our people in our movement have a bright decade ahead. I think our enemies are overplaying their hand and pushing too far, because I work with normal people and I hang out at local cigar shops with just normal work class people, and they've had it up to the wall. They're getting ready for something. They want change, good change, like our change. So I'm optimistic. I wonder what you guys think of that.
Well, you know, Craig, I've been saying all night, I've had just this aura of positive vibes. I've been feeling good about things. Not that I'm ever absolutely downtrodden and down in the mouth, but, you know, I'm human. So sometimes I'm more optimistic than others. But tonight, yeah, all good feelings on this side. Winston, what about you?
Well, I guess we can call you Dr. Vibes if you I guess I'm giving away my age there. But yeah, it's been a good evening, and I feel optimistic, and I feel especially optimistic knowing that Mr. Langley there is going to be contributing to our next publication. He's written an outstanding article on the role of the artist in the white nationalist and paleoconservative movements. This young man is a superb poet. He writes poems of the old epic style, and I've interviewed him on this show about such things. But you know, just knowing that we have such young men coming with us, James, I'm optimistic. I feel good, and I feel good about the upcoming AMREN conference, and I'll be there with Craig, and you know,
and of course, yes, Jared Taylor. If people are wondering, that AMREN conference is going to be held in the Washington, D.C. area in February. Jared Taylor is going to be on this show on January 23rd to promote just that. But, yes, you know, and I was talking earlier about the Tea Party participants, and although, you know, they're fundamentally sound and in the right place, they still got a little bit of learning to do, not anything that we can't provide them, of course, here in the political cesspool. But if they ever get pointed in the right direction and begin pulling in the same direction, I tell you, Craig, yes, absolutely, there could be a great renaissance, if you will, in America over the course of the next decade. I mean, we certainly have a lot of ingredients in play here. We just got to make sure it all gets baked together. We got to make sure that we capitalize on the opportunities that are out there and some of the intangibles that are out there. We can't miss the opportunities that are presented to us, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I mean, you know, everything could be in place, but if we don't seize the day, it's going to come and go, and we'll have never known the difference. We got to make sure that we're ready to act when certain situations present themselves. I think that in being in this movement for over a decade now, and I got my start in 1999 working with Pat Buchanan, I'm much more optimistic today than I was then. I will say that. And that is not because things have gone well for us the last decade. It's that it's gone so bad, people have woken up. So we'll see if we're able to make hay out of it. But, Craig, thanks for the call tonight, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. See you later, guys.
All right, you got it, my friend. Well, Winston, that's just about it for the program tonight. A final word from you?
Well, Happy New Year, folks. Thanks for sticking with us for the past year, and for those of you who stuck with us for the years before that. James, Happy New Year to you. I just want to say that it's a pleasure working side by side with you, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. Folks, James Edwards is a very fine man, and it's a privilege and an honor to co-labor with him, and I want you to love him as well.
Well, I love you, Winston. There's a lot of love going on tonight. And, you know, I believe in saying that as a man that I love my brothers in arms. And I think we need more of that camaraderie, and we need more of that fellowship. And it's a strong attribute. It's a strong word, and it's a strong emotion. And there certainly is that kind of love that you can only share with people that you've been in the trenches with. And obviously it's not the same kind of love that you would have with your wife, but it's a special relationship nevertheless, and certainly we share that with one another here in the Political Cesspool, and we share it with you in our listening audience, and we hope that that those good feelings and strong emotions are reciprocated on this end, because we are all in this together. This is a cause much greater than ourselves, and it's going to take everything we've got in order to persevere. But I think we've got the talent, and I think that our people have all of the other attributes that it's going to take to right this ship, and we just want to play our small role in getting the job done. And that's what we're going to try to do as we head into the new decade. And I tell you, Winston, I just wonder how this year is going to unfold for us in the cesspool. Every year it gets a little bit bigger, a little bit better, and I wonder what things are around the corner that even we haven't planned for. What's going to be the next big interview that we get? What's going to be the next great guest that we get that we hadn't thought about yet? And, you know, these are things that we'll find out in time with our audience, and it's going to be a great and adventurous ride all the way down. And that being said, my friends, I want to wish you a very happy new year, and may the coming months bring you unbridled strength, never-ending health, and unmatched prosperity on behalf of the entire hosting staff here, obviously Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, and the rest of the Political Cesspool staff and production crew, both past and present. I want to wish you a happy new year. Remind you to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. I welcome you to the new year with no limits in the Political Cesspool. And remember, when you're listening to the voice of the American right, you're listening to the Political Cesspool. Good night. I'm James Edwards. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.